listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions, and student voices.
Hello, my name is Phil Sis. On the 20th of February 2017, Lord Neuberger, the President of the Supreme Court, was invited to the University of Nottingham by the Bar Society to speak to students. I'm very thankful to Adam Kayani, President of the Bar Society, and the rest of the Bar Society for allowing me a short interview with the highest-ranked judge in the land. Please enjoy.
I am Lord Neuberger, President of the United Kingdom Supreme Court.
Thank you, Lord Neuberger, for agreeing to do this interview. It's an absolute honour, and thank you for visiting the university today. My first question to you, Lord Neuberger, is, in your long legal career, if you had to name a sad, important, funny or poignant thing that really sticks out, whether that's a person or a case, what would that be?
One case that has always haunted me was a case involving a fairly old man, probably in his 60s, who was being disqualified from being a trustee of a charity by the charity commissioners, and he felt very upset about it. And the case, he represented himself, and the case lasted 10 days. And I wrote a detailed judgment upholding the decision to disqualify him, and he was plainly very upset by it. And looking back on it, I think I was wrong. I think I was too interested in the details and didn't see the wood for the trees. And that's always slightly haunted me.
Slightly jumping now, Lord Neuberger. You are now surrounded in the atrium by aspiring barristers or even the next president of the Supreme Court. You did some research for the Bar Council in 2004 about the accessibility into the legal profession. Do you think that there is still a problem about accessibility in the judiciary? And what would you suggest maybe as a solution?
You only have to look at the senior judiciary to see that there is a problem about diversity. We have, in the Supreme Court, there are 11 of us and only one is a woman. We have no ethnic minorities. We are almost all public school, almost all Oxbridge. I think it's partly a function of where we select judges, senior judges from. Among solicitors and barristers, the most successful ones tend to be white men with privileged backgrounds, and it's partly a comment on society. But nonetheless, we have to do our best to improve diversity, and we are taking steps to do that.
And obviously, I'm going to come back to the Brexit judgment, as the lay people would call it. Do you ever fear that our judiciary could become politicised like in America, or will you and other judges strive for that never to happen?
I think it's not just the judges who would strive for it not to happen. I think that even those who want us, for instance, to be interviewed about our political leanings before we become judges, are intending, albeit in my view misconceivedly, to try and ensure that we remain unpolitical. We are unpolitical. We are not influenced by our political views when we act as judges. And I think making our political views an issue is liable to be wholly counterproductive, in that it will encourage the judiciary to become more political, which I would greatly regret.
And slightly carrying on in terms of free speech, university has always been a place where we can share ideas and thinking has been developed. In America recently, we've got the whole culture about safe spaces and trigger warnings, the sun being banned on London University grounds. Do you think now university is at risk of not becoming a place where free speech is possible?
I'm not an expert on universities, and I have to be careful about expressing political views. But there is no doubt that freedom of expression is one of the most fundamental aspects of the rule of law. And without it, we are all in very serious difficulties. Naturally, freedom of speech has its limits. The obvious example being freedom to cry fire in a crowded building. but one has to be very careful before one permits restrictions on freedom of expression.
Thank you very much, Lord Nomek. It's an absolute honour. Yeah. So once again, I would like to thank Adam Kayani and Chloe Gibbons for organising that interview. So yeah, that was Lord Neuberger, the highest ranked judge in the United Kingdom in the Supreme Court. And in that interview, he talked about freedom of speech. He talked about a politicised judiciary. He talked about safe spaces and the sun being banned on university campus. And I would just maybe like to ask panel firstly, in terms of freedom of speech, he touched on later, and in the last question, he said that freedom of speech is one of the most important things in society. And the recent news has been that Nottingham has banned the sun on campus, and so has various universities in London. So do we think that's worrying, or do we think it's sheltering students, or what's your general opinion about that?
I just want to pick up on something that when you asked him that question, when we were listening to that interview and you asked him the question and he said, oh, I don't know like enough about it as such. And Amar, you said, oh, dodging the question. Which I think for a lot of the time is fair enough. But I think there's also a big difference, which I think a lot of people almost... I'm only saying this because I heard you say it, but like there is a difference between dodging the question and not being able to answer it. And I think we see it a lot in the news at the moment and the media of them, you know, a lot of misrepresentation, but then also you see it in like news interviews all the time if they just walk around the question. And I think it was really great of him to just say straight out to you, I don't know enough about it to be able to comment. So I think that's quite nice to hear from our like basically head judge of the country, that he's like, no, I'm not just gonna like tiptoe on eggshells around this and get around the question. I'm gonna tell you that I can't answer it.
I thought it was back to your question on freedom of speech. I thought it was interesting how you asked whether it's worrying. I personally don't think it's that worrying that the university is banning the sun, because at the end of the day, the SU Shop is a private company and they can ban whatever they want. I think we've discussed this on the Pulse before. And I think it's not a new issue. I think the SU Shop decided to ban the sun in my second year, so almost 2.5 years ago now. And I think it's our choice as people to decide what we can and cannot read. And if shops want to ban certain newspapers because they don't agree with the views, then it's their choice to ban that.
And also the fact that it's banned on campus, the university therefore is essentially saying they don't want to affiliate with the Sun, which is more than fair for the university to want to do as like an academic institution.
Yeah, but I think universities, we discussed this again on the Pulse and also the Big Picture, but it's I think university is supposed to be challenged, or views are supposed to be challenged. And he made a very good point that freedom of speech should be limited sort of at your peril. And I do think it's important that, you know, I agree with you, the sun is often trash, but it's actually quite a useful thing to look at occasionally. I shared the post on Facebook, and one of my friends on Facebook, they commented, why don't you let just the economy decide what the standards are in a newspaper? Let it fail, but
well,
we shouldn't
well,
be...
The thing is when they have blacklisted the sun essentially from being sold on campus, it's because it was brought to the attention of the university by the students. A lot of students complained about the fact that the sun was being sold on campus and that they were saying that they didn't want it. There wasn't the kind of uproar from other students saying that they wanted to keep it. And I mean, the university has therefore decided to take a position to make their students happier and to not affiliate with that newspaper, if you can really call it a newspaper. While I agree that you shouldn't people or organizations, because all opinions should be kind of like listened to and then maybe rationalized, with the fact that the sun's not being sold on campus, it doesn't mean that people can't go off campus or even on the internet have a look at the website if they so felt necessary.
Yeah, I think, we did speak about this a couple of weeks ago, but in terms of, like, I think my argument for it was, like, the university has an obligation to always protect its students, and whether or not that's from, you know, we talk a lot about fake news and whatnot. So if the university doesn't want to be affiliated with the Sun, then that's the university's decision. And the fact that it's not like they've, say, banned a really established newspaper that, say, like The Telegraph, and then everyone's gone, whoa, what are you doing that for? They banned The Sun and no one said, whoa, what have you done that for? It's just, oh, okay, should they have done that? It's not been a massive, can't believe you've done that. Like, we all read it, we all want to have it. Like, no one's really said that.
Yeah. I think, like, one thing we could agree on is his comments on the fact that there's a lack of women in the judiciary, there's a lack of ethnic minorities in the judiciary. Do we all welcome his comments about making judges in our land more diverse?
I agree with that, but I think it's one of those things that will take time to filter through. So, you know, he's, how old do you say he is?
Well, he's retiring this year. I think it's 70 is the cut-off date for a Supreme Court judge.
Okay, so he's 70, so he would have been at school like 50 years ago. 50 years ago, you didn't necessarily have 20-year-olds who were necessarily going down paths where they were going to become barristers or judges or lawyers or anything like that, because they were kind of like, they just got to, a lot of immigrants had just got to the country, and so it's the kind of thing that will filter through. So I think it's more of a second generation immigrant kind of thing, that as people grow up, people of more diverse cultures and backgrounds grow up in this country, they will be have like more opportunities for the different range of jobs.
I think it's a change that can, I agree with you, it's going to take a while, but I think it's a change that we'll probably see happening in the, definitely the next few decades, because I think quite a few of the Supreme judges are reaching retirement age now. I think, I'm not sure how many, like three or something, will be, stepping down within the next few years, so you might see a change then.
Including the only woman on the Supreme Court, Baroness Hale, is due for retirement too, and apparently she's refusing to budge until another woman is going to be put on the Supreme Court. Do we think that is a good thing?
I mean, I like the fact that she's refusing to budge until there's another woman, but she's not, is she saying put another woman in so then I can step down, essentially, or is she saying I'll wait?
She's saying that she'd rather step down knowing basically that there's a woman going to be taking her place, because, of the same caliber as her male colleagues,
because you then kind of like err on the side of whether or not you should be getting people jobs because of quotas, like racial quotas or gender quotas and things like that. And as someone who essentially would fulfill every quota going to man, I really, really don't agree with them, because I think they'll create an atmosphere in the workplace where people will then think that these people, whether they're ethnic minorities or female or transgender or whatever, don't necessarily get the jobs that they've got because of their abilities, but because of their quotas. And
it's like reverse sexism in a way.
Yeah, so okay, yeah, these people get the jobs and they may be more than qualified, but it will harm them in terms of the way their peers look at them.
I mean, I think it's interesting that he did, I mean, I can't pronounce the name, Lord
Neuberger.
Thank you.
Like, think of getting a Neuberger.
Neuberger. Okay, cheers. Thanks for that, Sean. I think it's interesting that Lord Neuberger did actually, like, he said that sort of off his own back, in a sense. Like, you didn't say with your question, oh, what do you think about the fact there's only one woman and no ethnic minorities? He said, oh, no, this is the case.
My follow-up question was exactly going to be that, and he just preempted it all. So it was actually quite encouraging.
Yeah, I think the fact that he picked up on that and the fact that he's the head and that he's retiring, I think is really important, that he and that the other judges are aware of it, because it's as if they're sort of stepping away from this, oh, no, women can't be those positions. It's, oh no, we're very aware that they're not in those positions. But I suppose you can only go so far as saying, oh well, we want a more diverse group, but we don't want to force diversity. If you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that.
I was just going to say, I think it's quite encouraging, just to agree with Beth, I think it's quite encouraging that he said that there aren't that many, there's only one woman and no ethnic minorities. I think with the whole quotas thing, it goes back to affirmative action in a lot of countries. While I think it's important that we have these quotas to bring people from these disadvantaged upbringings and women who have been marginalised from certain jobs over the last years to an equal standing, relief. I think if you look at quotas, they might put you down in the workplace, but it has made certain areas more equal. And I think one of the main reasons I'm at Nottingham is because of a quota. I'm not complaining, but I think it's I think we do need more just in general in our political system, in our parliament and the House of Lords and Commons. We need more women, more ethnic minorities, and I think it's encouraging that someone of such power has said that we need more women and ethnic minorities without being asked directly.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, as our country is becoming more and more diverse, that we definitely need that representation from our lawmakers and policymakers, because they are there to essentially represent us. And right now, they don't as a nation, so we definitely need more of an input from them.
And lastly, just really quickly, because I'm conscious of time, but he obviously read the judgment of the Brexit judgment, the one that asked Parliament to trigger Article 50. I asked him a little bit about that, and he has to be very careful, I think, politically. And I asked him whether he feared whether the judiciary could ever become political, like in America. And you heard quite a strong response saying, no, that can never happen, would strive against that, and other people would strive against that. Do we have similar fears about the judiciary slowly becoming a bit more political, or do you think it will never become political?
I think it's always, there's always going to be little subtleties of politics, isn't there? The fact that we're talking about it suggests that there probably is.
Yeah, I think it will be hard for, at the end of the day, these people are, they're judges, but they're, at the start, they're British citizens, and they have their political opinions, and it's, it'll be hard for them to keep their opinions so close to their chest and not public when we're living in a time where politics is at the forefront of our thinking and our news outlets.
Yeah, I think it's going to be quite hard for them to stay apart from politics. Like we saw a couple of weeks ago, Lord Neuberger's comments about the was it the MPs not backing the judges enough?
BBC, so. And he was talking about the media and the Mail and enemies of the state.
I found his comments about the freedom of speech particularly interesting there, but I think there's always going to be an element of a political, because they deal with political matters.